Over 200,000 of the homeless people in the United States of America are women and girls. The most needed and understocked item in homeless shelters, feminine hygiene products. Joy Road Media is proud to tell you about the Clean Love Project. The Clean Love Project's mission is to help women and young girls feel clean, loved, and empowered by distributing clean love kits to alleviate their hygiene needs. Go to thecleanloveproject.org to find out how you can help. The Clean Love Project focuses on the Metro Detroit area, but it also distributes kits worldwide. If you are a female in need of a clean love kit, go to thecleanloveproject.org and request one today. Joy Road Media is a proud supporter of the Clean Love Project at thecleanloveproject.org.
We're recording.
All right. Hello. My name is Allison Bobbitt, and I'm here with my husband, Mike Bobbitt.
I like it how, like, when we do the intros, you assume this, hi, I'm a late night DJ on WNIC.
No, I like to think that I'm like Sarah Koenig on This Is Serial. That's what I like to think.
We're talking about a movie that decidedly has nothing that would be suitable for cereal.
No, you know what? It's like, this is Fresh Air, NPR.
You think you're Terry Gross?
Yeah, why not? I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air, right?
Sure.
Don't hate on me.
I'm not hating on you.
You are a little.
No, I find your voice during the intros to be very soothing.
Do you?
I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is, you made me watch. Allison and I are a married couple. We have a disgusting amount of years between us.
It's not disgusting. It's there 11.
Good 40.
10 and a half.
45 years between us.
That's how old I am.
You're not 45. Don't, no. God, don't ever say you're 45.
Well, what's going to happen when I am 45?
Let's not talk about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You need to accept that one day I'll be 45.
Allison is 25 years old and I'm 70.
You're disgusting. Don't ever say that. Okay, so this week,
you made
me watch My Neighbor Totoro.
You made me watch. Why'd you make me watch this? You made me watch something I didn't like. Next time we'll watch something.
So My Neighbor Totoro takes place in 1950s Japan. Mm-hmm. A guy moves his two daughters into an old house to be closer to their mom, who's in the hospital with a prolonged disease. It's never said in the movie, but it's tuberculosis.
Oh, okay.
There, the daughters experience a variety of magical creatures, including the titular Totoro.
Totoro.
The movie was originally, what did you think of the movie?
I really liked it. Our friend Meg, who we work with, what's up, girl? She had said that she was so surprised that I hadn't watched any of, like, this. Is it Studio Ghibli?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm surprised you haven't watched any of the Studio Ghibli stuff. And I'm like, yeah, me too, because I feel like I would like it. It's just that none of the people I hung out with, like, really watched it.
Yeah.
So I guess I just never was, like, introduced to it.
You know, in all honesty, I feel like I've only seen two Studio Ghibli films, both of them made at the same time and released basically as a double feature. Mm-hmm. And that is My Neighbor Totoro and Grave of the Fireflies, which could not be further away from each other on the spectrum.
I heard Grave of the Fireflies is super sad, and I feel like I need to emotionally prepare myself for that one.
You know what? It is so sad that I'm not only going to promise you I will never make you watch it, but I'm not even going to tell you what the plot is about, other than, like Totoro, both films are like two of the heads of Studio Ghibli, and both are semi-autobiographical tales of their childhoods.
Okay. Childhood makes it sound like something bad happens to a kid.
Terrible.
So,
terrible happens.
I'm good. I'm good.
It's in the aftermath of the atom bomb on Japan.
Nope. Can't do it.
Yeah, so that's why I chose to have you watch My Neighbor Totoro instead.
You.
Now, when I saw this, my friend Kelly that I grew up with took me to see this screening at an AMC, I believe. So I got to see it on the big screen.
Oh, nice.
And she didn't tell me in advance that nothing bad happens. So the whole time, having my only other experience with Studio Ghibli being Fireflies, I was just like, ah, fuck. Ah, man. I feel like I'm being lulled into a false sense of security.
Yes.
And then when it was over, I was like, I really wish I had known that this roller coaster wasn't going to go upside down.
Yeah.
I would have been able to enjoy it a lot more had I known that this roller coaster was only gently rolling hills.
Yes.
That there was no corkscrew
on
this one. So when you and I watched it, I told you in advance.
Yeah.
Nothing bad happens, but I feel like you were still pretty tense.
Yes. Well, I mean,
is it because you didn't trust my memory?
No. I knew nothing bad was going to happen, but it's like you still get caught up in the story where you're like, oh, you know, you still are like attached to the characters and you're like, I'm like, I know nothing like really bad is going to happen, but I'm still like concerned, you know, like I know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know they're not going to be like nothing horrible is going to happen, but like obviously something needs to happen to like further the plot. So I'm just like, what's going to happen like next? You know, I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were some tense moments.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when they first reveal that the mom's in the hospital and hopefully she'll come home soon. And I'm like, fucking mom's not making it till the end of this movie. But no, she does.
Fine.
And, we watched the streaming, so like the picture goes smaller and, you know, they start to show you other things that you can watch. But one of the still shots shows the mom at home and the two girls in the movie have like a new little brother. So, you know, it shows you that their life, you know, actually continues fine and they, you know, the family grows and everything. So, yeah, the mom, I feel free, you know, talking about spoilers in this because, you know, it's really just a glimpse into these two girls' lives as they, you know, experience wonder and magic.
Yeah. It is really like they just, it's like you said, well, you told me earlier when we watched it, is that it's just two girls who have a really magical, like, summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you this earlier because I showed this to you because it was going to be easier to show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure when you put pictures up on the Instagram to let people know that we're talking about this movie, people will be able to see it then. So the movie was originally only written to have one daughter, 7 years old. And so if you look at the cover art for this or the poster, it shows the Totoro, O Totoro, translated into English as King Totoro, at the bus stop with only one girl, a 7-year-old girl. But in the movie, he's at the bus stop with both daughters who are 10 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did for the younger daughter kind of goes missing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the only peril that there is.
Yeah.
And she's fine.
She's fine. She just gets lost.
Yeah, she just gets lost wanting to deliver an ear of corn
to her mom
at the hospital. Because it's healthy and it will help her
heal. Yeah, she thinks it'll make her mom feel better. Yeah.
So in order to have that, they changed it to two daughters, but they kept that artwork, which is, you know, surprisingly similar to the screenshot. Like I showed you those side by side.
Like I didn't even notice. Like I really didn't notice until you pointed it out. So I mean, still effective, but it is surprising that they never changed it.
Mm-hmm. So this movie originally kind of flopped when it came out in Japan. Yeah.
That's crazy because it's such a huge, like...
Yeah. I mean, Totoro is now the mascot for Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
It was dubbed... It was originally released in 1988 and then dubbed in English by a subsidiary of Trauma Pictures.
Oh, my God.
You know, Toxic Avengers.
Yeah.
For... for America, for airlines in the United States. I was going to say American Airlines, but not necessarily American Airlines.
Yeah.
And then it was redubbed again in English in 2005 when Disney signed a deal with Studio Ghibli to distribute their pictures in the U.S. in exchange for Disney actually pays for 10% of Studio Ghibli films to be produced.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and when they redubbed it, this Disney version, they have an all-star cast, and I use that very loosely because the all-star cast is Tim Daly from Wings.
Yes.
Dakota and Elle Fanning as the two daughters, Satsuki and May.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, Dakota Fanning, the older of the two Fanning daughters, was only 11 years old.
Yeah, this is when they were actually children. Yeah.
Yeah. But she already had a long list of, you know,
Well, because she started as like a very young, young child actor.
They both did.
Yeah.
And Elle Fanning was only 7 when she voiced this, and she also had a handful of big credits to her name. Their parents were kind of like wannabe Hollywood types. Like their dad, I think, has like one acting role or something like that. But grandpa on their mom's side was a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Yeah. So this is written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki. Miyazaki is considered the greatest animated storyteller of all time.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't believe in making movies to make kids despair. His work is often uplifting, which isn't true of all Studio Ghibli films. Like I told you, this was made at the same time of Grave of the Fireflies. And the only reason that this was even made, because originally they rejected it, was because they were like, yeah, it would be a good companion piece to wash off all the,
the ick of the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you ever do a Barbenheimer double feature, if anyone's listening to this, watch Fireflies first and then feel good with
Totoro
afterwards. Totoro is a mispronunciation from Mei from Tororu, which is Japanese for troll.
Mm.
So yeah, it's Mei mispronouncing troll, essentially.
Got it.
And the film has been credited for having a really strong environmental message, as well as celebrating the idea of community, because the whole community comes together when Mei's missing, and they join in a search to find her.
Yeah.
And it's been applauded for its Shinto themes, about which is basically respecting nature, and that every living thing, you know, a plant, a blade of grass, a tree, has a spirit within it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, why the Totoros are sort of like the forest spirits of that tree.
Yeah.
Totoro is modeled to look like a cross between a Japanese raccoon dog, which I didn't know that that was a thing until today. When I told you that, you were like, oh, yeah. And a cat. Uh-huh. Raccoon dogs are friggin' adorable.
Yeah. It's basically a dog with a raccoon face.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
With a little bit different coloring. It's more like brown, where raccoons in the States
are more gray.
Yeah.
It's so cute. It's so cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's a documentary about Studio Ghibli that I watched, actually, I think before I even saw Grave of the Fireflies, called Kingdom of Dreams and Madness. Mm. And it's really excellent. It's a look at like old school handmade animation. Like Miyazaki says, do everything by hand. Even if you're doing computer animation, do it by hand. Which I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me your thoughts on this.
I mean, I really, really liked it. It was so magical. I think what I really liked is, it's like you said, it wasn't scary. Like the things that you would think would be scary, like, was it the
little soot
sprites?
Yeah.
Because
watched it with Benji.
Yeah,
and he was a little concerned at first.
Yeah, he was like, ooh. But then we were like, look, it's the soot sprites. Because he watched the whole thing with us. Like, he was into it.
He's enchanted, and he's 4. And he was really into it.
Yeah.
It kept his attention from start to finish.
Yeah, he watched the whole thing. And because you just see all these little black things. And I was like, oh, crap, here we go. and then... You know, they're like, oh, no, those are the soot sprites. They're just there to see, you know, make sure that it, that we're good people. And if we're good people, then they'll fly away.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. And yeah, they take off. They fly away after a day or two and realize that they're good people. And it's just like the sweetest notion is that, like, yeah, you're going to see these little things. And once they realize that you're good people, like, they'll leave.
Yeah.
And it's just this, like, it, the idea that, like, maybe moving into a new home might be a little bit scary at first. But once you get more comfortable there, there's nothing to be scared of. Like, yeah, that sort of idea is just so sweet.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, the sense of community that they have is very sweet. Because, I mean, truly, like, even before May goes missing and they can't find her.
Yeah, it's one of those, it takes a village where,
yeah,
people are watching because the dad, I believe he's an architect.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
but he teaches.
He teaches, yeah. So he has to go to work, and with the mom being in the hospital, mm-hmm, everyone kind of helps watch the girls, and, you know, there's a grandma that, yeah, helps them, you know, move in and everything. And she has, like, a grandson who, you know, clearly has a crush, but he's a little boy.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of doing the, sticks his tongue out and goes like,
yeah, and, like, he's, you know, so shy that he just is like,
yeah,
I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a great look at childhood.
It is. It's very sweet. And, like, the granny character is, yeah, just, like, is always willing to help, and she comes around, and
she's voiced by the actress who did the voice of Ursula in Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Yeah, for the English dub.
For the version. English dub, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. I thought that notion was very, very lovely, like, that there is this whole community. Everybody's helping each other, like, how do you pronounce the older daughter's name?
Satsuki.
Satsuki. When she needs to use the phone, the way they're like, yeah, come on in. Like,
yeah,
come use the phone. And she's like, is it all right if I wait for them to call back? And they're like, of course, make yourself at home. Like, there's no, like, hurry up or, you know.
Yeah.
It's so welcoming and just like, yeah, of course, like, whatever you need. Or even when Granny is like, hey, if there's anything you need, just let me know. If you need me to watch the kids, like, just let me know. There's just this immediate sense of community as soon as they get there.
Yeah.
Like, everyone comes over and is, like, helping them move in and, like, clean and, like, set everything up. They're immediately welcomed there.
Yeah.
Which is really nice because I'm sure it's really scary to move somewhere where you don't know anybody really,
mm-hmm,
especially when you're little kids and you just have your sibling.
Yeah, I would assume that they probably moved from a city wherever the school was,
yeah,
that the dad teaches at,
mm-hmm,
to the country where this hospital is.
Yeah.
And I saw a little bit of Japanese rice paddies when I flew into Japan just from the plane, but, mm-hmm, my understanding is that there are still villages like this in Japan that are just these small communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, it isn't like an American farm, that an American farm in 2024 is much different than a farm was in the 1950s. Like, mm-hmm, I think a lot of this, as is a lot of Japan, is very preserved from, like, an older time. You know,
yeah,
obviously, you know, the bigger cities in Japan are,
yeah,
more technologically advanced than cities in the,
yeah,
United States. But yeah, yeah, I like how the old and the new exist at the same time.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then just the way that, like, Totoro comes about, like,
yeah,
they just kind of find him, like, May just kind of finds him.
Yeah, there's a bit of an Alice in Wonderland kind of quality about,
yeah,
her climbing through, like, underneath the tree in the thicket.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then she ends up in this magical place.
Yeah, and she just kind of, yeah, yeah, she's just, like, following this little teeny tiny Totoro.
Yeah, there's three Totoros.
Yeah. She sees them and she's like, what the heck? So she's just chasing them and she just go, like, she's following them on this crazy path.
Yeah.
And then she goes down like into this little hole in this tree, and she just goes down and she lands on this giant, the giant Totoro.
And King Totoro, yeah.
And she's just like immediately feels safe.
Yeah, he kind of wakes up a little bit, and then he goes back to sleep. And I remember when we were watching it, we were both like, oh, wouldn't you love to sleep on a Totoro? Like,
yeah.
I know my eyes would like itch and burn afterwards.
I know.
But
I'm like, that's
as long as his amazing. Breath was better than Gizmo's.
I'm sure it would.
Sorry,
be.
Gizmo. Don't I'm so mean sorry. To breath shame you. But
your mouth is trash. I'm so sorry. You're a good boy, though. Yes.
What I really like, too, is that, you know, this is hand drawn, hand painted animation. And, you know, Benji is grown up on Pixar, Cars, Moana, Lilo and Stitch, a lot of very flashy things with a lot of computer stuff in it. And this kept his interest just because it's a sweet story for the whole family. And it just really goes to say something about the power of storytelling.
Yeah, it was really lovely. I love that imagery of like the Totoros all like at the very top of the tree, just like playing those little like flutes.
Mm-hmm.
And like that being like the sound you hear of like the wind whistling through the trees, like that's what you hear.
Yeah.
Is them.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that imagery because that brings me to another point. There is a Bob's Burger episode that I think probably always went over your head until now. And I don't think we've rewatched this episode since seeing Totoro, but in one of the Thanksgiving episodes, it's the one where Fishholder has the Belchers pose as his family and Bob is the chef and the family kind of forgets about Bob in the kitchen. So he starts chugging absinthe.
Yes.
And he's talking to the turkey that he's named Lance.
Yes.
And after chugging the rest of the bottle of absinthe, he kind of falls down and starts hallucinating. And Lance pops out of the oven and grows huge. And the walls fall away. And Lance pulls out an umbrella. And he kind of bows a couple of times. And then the family all, you know, gathers around. And a giant tree made of Thanksgiving fixings sprouts up from the ground. And there's like a little pumpkin that Lance uses as a dreidel, and he gets on and he flies the whole family up into the top of the Thanksgiving fixing tree. And Bob is playing the music from Totoro blowing into the absinthe bottle, which I think is one of the... There are a lot of nods in pop culture to Totoro, like Totoro pops up in Toy Story 3, I think. But for me, being a Bob's Burgers super fan, that reference to Totoro is, I think, my favorite nod to it.
Yeah, so that did always go over my head. And when I saw, like, was it the acorns?
Mm-hmm.
When they're having the dream of but when they're with Totoro and they're, you know, like raising the acorns up, that they're coming up from the tree, and then they're up in the tree with Totoro. I'm like, that's what that's from.
Yeah.
I was making that connection. I was like, oh, that's what that Bob's Burgers episode is.
Yeah. In some ways, Coochie Coopie is kind of a malevolent Totoro, too.
That makes sense to me. I feel like Coochie Coopie is definitely like some kind of Totoro or something of that world.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you enjoyed this as much as I did. And I'm glad that Benji enjoyed it, too.
Me too.
And I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to Harry being 4 so we can watch this again. And if we don't watch it before then with Benji, believe all the Studio Ghibli movies are on
Disney.
I guess, Disney Plus now, since Disney owns all of it. For some reason, I thought it was on Max, but...
No, I think we watched it on Disney.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of anxious to check out more Like, I've seen bits and pieces of other Studio Ghibli things, but I really want to sit down and watch another one. And
yeah,
maybe we'll see if Kelly will come on the podcast and recommend one for us.
Yeah, if we can do a You Made Us Watch.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Because I'm sure she knows, like,
oh, she
all of
she
them, knows. So yeah. She can tell us ones that won't make us too sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. She can tell us the safe ones.
I think I've already seen the saddest ones.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she can tell us the safest ones to watch.
So, what are you going to make me watch next week?
So,
or actually, that's a good thing that people can leave in the comments, too. Why don't you recommend in our Facebook group a Studio Ghibli film you think that we would both enjoy? So, join our Facebook group and let us know a Studio Ghibli film. And man, I really hope that I am pronouncing that right, because I've committed to it very confidently.
Yes.
Hey, Benji, do you want to tell people if you like My Neighbor Totoro?
Yeah. Okay. Tamara!
Did you like the cat bus?
Did you like cat bus?
Yeah.
Can you say cat bus?
Cat bus. Cat bus.
Do you want to ride in the cat bus? No, you don't want to ride in the cat bus? You don't think it would be so warm and comfy?
I've smelled what our cats have thrown up. I don't think I want to be inside a cat either.
All right, that's fair. Would you want to pet the cat, Buzz?
Hey, Benji, what's your favorite cartoon?
Trash Truck.
Trash Truck. Oh, boy.
Well, Trash Truck's a nice one. It's made by the son or the grandson of the guy who created the Family Circus.
That's true. All right, Peanut.
All right.
It's time for bed.
Want to say goodnight to everybody?
Good night, everybody.
Very nice.
How old are you?
I'm 4.
Yeah, what's you are.
Benjamin.
Good night,
hey,
baby.
Come here. What does Darth Vader say? What does Jabba the Hutt say?
Good job.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Okay. Good night, baby. I love you.
So we can see now that Benji not only has seen Totoro, but I've also already started forcing my Star Wars on him.
Well, he is interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, you tried earlier and he was not that interested.
Right.
And then you were just watching it, and he was like, what's this? Like, he got interested in it on his own.
He's very intrigued by Darth Vader, and in his Star Wars little kids book, he is not sure why the Rancor lives below Jabba the Hutt and why he's holding Ula. And I'm like, oh, he's just giving her a kiss. So what are you going to make us watch next week, Allison?
Okay, so I have been talking to you about this movie for a while. It is also animated, and I feel like I reference this movie in our lives often, and you're like, I don't know, I haven't seen it. It is, just imagine I'm holding Gizmo over my head.
Oh yeah, we're watching the remake of Strange Brew.
No.
With all lions.
Yeah, what's it called?
Instead of it being Pam...
Oh my God.
Elsinore, it's Simba or Kimba or Simba.
It's
or
Simba.
Yeah.
And the name of the movie is
The Lion King.
That's it. We are watching The Lion King.
Yay!
Yay!
That's cool. I can't wait to see the cartoon remake of Strange Brew.
Yes. Heads up, something bad does happen in this one.
Something bad happens in Strange Brew.
I know, but I just, you know.
The whole, like, they show it on the security camera. Like, Pam's dad dies. He's murdered.
I know, but I don't want you to be surprised.
His ghost is in the arcade machine.
I know, but it's a Disney movie.
Lions can't play arcade machines.
Listen, though, I just want you to know, because sometimes Disney takes out the bad stuff. You know what I mean?
Disney cartoons are trauma porn. You can't have a Disney cartoon without a dead parent. Like, even like Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, you're right.
The parents, you know, it doesn't happen on camera, but.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
I'd be hard pressed to come up with a Disney movie that doesn't have dead parents, a Disney cartoon that there isn't some sort of like dead parent involved.
I know, I'm like,
This is where we need Joe April, who could probably rattle off a laundry list.
Joe, is there one?
Is there a scene in The Lion King where...
Inside Out, both parents are alive.
Okay, but there's also a lot of grief and depression in Inside Out.
Yeah, but like nobody's... Oh, but Bing Bong dies.
Yeah. Boom. Is there a scene where a lion says to another lion, I could crush your head.
No.
But I won't. Because I need you.
No, but there really should be, because it is a missed opportunity.
Can I do the whole Lion King episode?
No.
As Max von Sydow?
No. Because here's what's going to happen, is about 1 to 1.5 minutes in, you'll start to get tired of doing the voice, and it will start slipping, and it will become either Irish or Mexican, and I can't do that, bro. I can't.
I feel like your prediction is 55 seconds off.
Maybe. And then it'll just be gone altogether. You'll just go back to your regular voice.
That is true.
Yes. Love you, though.
Now he's starting to sound like a Muppet.
Yeah. Yeah, you're slipping into Muppetsville. That's okay. You're doing a great job, babe.
Hey, you.
Hi, ho.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert. I don't know why I think I'm auditioning for the Muppets right now.
I've been working on a Fozzie Bear imitation. Okay. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I'm Fozzie Bear.
Oh, God, no.
Thanks for listening to You Made Me Watch. Join us next week when we talk about The Lion King. Waka waka.
You know who you sound like?
Character from Big Mouth.
Yeah, you sound like Nick's hormone monster. The one with the only one eye and one leg.
No, that's much more... Nick is the hormone. I sounded more like Coach...
Coach Steve.
Yeah, Coach Steve.
Yeah, but a little bit like the hormone monster. Yeah. Like more, like you're in between the two, but like leaning hormone monster.
We're going to watch The Lion King. Me, Allison, and my three testicles.
Oh, God. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you cut some of that out.